Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We build people. CSIC is a church whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good morning, good morning, Carpenter Shop. It's such a blessing to be here with you guys this morning. Will you stand and worship with us?
You choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve, and you take the broken things and raise them to glory. 'Cause you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you fight, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one. Teaching me how to receive it. So let all the striving see, this is my victory. 'Cause you are my champion. Oh, giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you
heavenly place, undefeated with the one. Giant shows up. I don't care if the giant's at work. I don't care if the giant's in your home. I don't care if the giant's in your church. He is your champion. And giants fall when he stands undefeated. Every battle he's won. You are who he says you are. Crowns us with confidence. We are seated. We're seated in heavenly places. So the temporary doesn't really matter, 'cause we're seated. We're seated in heavenly places. Who's undefeated,
our firm foundation. He's the rock we can stand on. That's a moment for us to worship because our God won't fail. Does anybody really believe that Jesus can't fail? He won't fail. It's impossible for him to fail.
I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. And I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I build my life on Jesus, and he's never let me down. He's faithful in every season, and so why would he fail now? He won't. He'll never forsake you. He won't. Think he won't fail, no.
Excited when you sing about the rain coming and the wind blowing, because the end of that part ends with my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. So that means come hell or high water, it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It may not feel good. It may not feel good, but I'm still safe. And I just wonder if there's anybody in the house this morning that still feels safe, no matter what they try to do. They might try to take you out. They might try to put you down. But because of the goodness of Jesus, because of the faithfulness of Jesus, I'm still safe. I'm still safe. I don't care what's been attempted. I don't care what's been said. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord raises a standard. And I think a lot of times we read that a little differently. We read it as when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Lord lifts a standard. Now, baby, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord is going to raise a standard. So I dare anybody in this room this morning to lift your hands, because you are in expectancy of a God to raise the standard, to raise the standard for the people that thought they could touch you. Gotta come up, because the standard has been raised. A 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 standard has been raised. The standard's raised because your Father called you to it. So anybody that tries to remind you of the person you used to be, anybody that tries to push you to the person you used to be, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, he will raise a standard. Our God raises a standard. So rain came, so what? You might have made me cry, but I'm safe. You might have put me down, but sing, I'm gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it through.
Not from what I've seen, but because of what I know. Because he raised me to win, so winning's not an option, it's a guarantee.
Yeah.
Winning's not an option, it's a guarantee for you. You're gonna make it, you're gonna make it, you're gonna make it. I feel that for somebody. You're gonna make it, you're gonna make it, you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through, yeah, yeah.
My house was built on.
We're gonna make it through. 'Cause our house was built on the love of Jesus. No weapon against us will prosper. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I lift up all of my brothers and my sisters in this room who may have been reminded of the person that they used to be, whose foundation feels like it's getting shaken, who is having one of the moments as the Israelites where they feel, God, I was better in Egypt. I was better in addiction. I was better when I was going through. I was better when I was hurt. I was better when I was away from church. Father, we bind those thoughts now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we decree and declare that when the enemy comes in, you will raise up a standard. You will raise up a standard. So it doesn't matter what hell we face outside of these doors. It doesn't matter what hell we face in these doors. Because you are God, because you are faithful, because you are holy, you will raise up a standard. You will raise up a standard. So God, we meet you in expectancy for your standard to be raised. Church, you're gonna make it. And I'm not just saying that to you, I'm saying that because that's what I believe and that's what I know. Because I know a God who sits high and looks low, and who is still building, who is still willing to be a firm foundation. So it doesn't matter where you might find yourself this morning, whether your foundation is strong or it's shaken, Understand that no matter when the rain comes and the wind blows, that our God is still reigning. He's still reigning on every situation, even in that pain, even in that confusion. Some of us have been questioning God as to why. But I want to remind you, he sees those tears and he hears those questions, and he's not offended by them. Our pain tends to build our intimacy. So you're gonna make it through. There's an army of heaven backing you, you're gonna make it. Cry right now, you're still gonna make it. Be angry right now, you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through. Whoa. Christ is my firm foundation. He's the rock on which I stand when everything around me is shaking. Come on, sing it out.
Would you praise the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, praise his name. God is good. We bless you, Jesus. Right where you are in the quiet of this moment, would you just begin to meditate on God? If you need to close your eyes, do that. But I want us to just wait a moment longer in the presence of the Lord. Just let him speak. Spirit. Let's give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the way that you speak to us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for moving in our midst. God, we thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. God, that you're always with us. Father, we bless you and we worship you. We glorify your name. Go ahead and sing that out. Presence, Father. There's no one like you, Lord. So we surrender to you today. We say, come and have your way in our midst. Holy Spirit, change our hearts. Open our minds to receive from you today. God, let our hearts melt like wax before you. Mold us and shape us. Father, give us humility to learn from you. Where we've created an open door, would you root out those things and close those doors? Protect us, O God, from the wiles of the devil. Purify our hearts, O Lord. Change us. We surrender to you, Father. opportunity to worship you. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in your presence. Lord, we ask that you would continue to move in our hearts today and speak to us. In Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Come on, give him praise. God is good. Amen. I want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. If this is your first time with us, we'd like to meet you after the service in the Welcome Center in the foyer so that we can give you a gift and a personal welcome to our church. If you're tuning in today, thank you so much for joining us wherever you are in the world. We have a few announcements today. The first is that there is a membership class for people who want to join the church. If you want to become a new member of Carpenter Shop, that's this Wednesday at 6 p.m. in room 104. This Wednesday, 6 p.m. We also have a Super Bowl. Who's ready for the Super Bowl? Y'all don't sound ready for the Super Bowl. Who's ready for the Super Bowl? Okay, all right, I'll take it. Super Bowl Youth Fundraiser Lunch after worship next Sunday. That's the 11th. So if you want to support the youth, come to the fundraiser and root for your team. We also have a women's ministry event coming up. Here's a reminder right here coming to you on the screen.
Hey, Carpenter Shop ladies, I cannot wait to be with you on Saturday morning, February the 10th. We're going to have an amazing time together. Girl, get up. That's the message that I am going to be bringing to you. I cannot wait to see each of you. Invite someone that you know needs to be inspired for our time together. Ciao.
So that is this Saturday. Ladies, if you haven't signed up, do it today. Don't put it off any longer because you might not make it. It's $10 per lady. I don't know anywhere that you can go and get a good meal for $10 anymore. If you go down to McDonald's down the street, you can get a meal, a combo, for $12. Easy. Easy. Pastor, I remember the days when I could go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac combo for $5. You can't do that anymore. Now they try to act like it's special. They call it a 5 for $5, which used to be a 4 for $4, so I don't know what's happening anymore. God help us. $10 per lady. Make sure you come out for that. At this time, as the worship team comes back, we're going to take up our tithes and our offerings. If you're tuning in online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. There is a QR code behind me. We want to be faithful to God with our giving, with our tithe and our offering. And don't forget to continue to give to Kingdom Builders. You can do that on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, if you've pledged to do that. And if you haven't done that, we encourage you to do so, so that we can give to missions and to special projects that are happening in the church to advance God's kingdom. Amen? If you're giving by cash or check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. You can make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
Hallelujah. I don't know if you are guilty sometimes of just singing or if you really think about what you're singing. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do. Hard words to sing today. One of the hardest things to pastoring a church is letting people go. Saying, okay, what you want to say is, no, you can't, okay. Been in conversation with Brittany for some time now about what God is doing inside of her. And today is powerful that you sing that song, I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do. And Brittany sensed for a long time that God's doing something different in her, and she expressed that even more recently with Pastor Joy and I, that, hey, I don't want to do this, but I need to do this. And Brittany, let me just say that I've watched you. Over many years I've watched you. What a tremendous, tremendous gift you are to this body. You are. Come on. And releasing you is not an easy thing, but I know. But the only way it's easier for us to do is because we know that on the other side of release is God's plan, God's blessing, God's blessing. And it's not easy for you because you step out and get into waters you've not swam in before. But I was praying about you this morning, and I just heard the Lord say, you don't need to worry about Brittany. I've already charted the course for her. I've already set the path. And as you do that, I don't believe it would be days. I believe it's just a matter of a short time, weeks, that you'll see the light come on. And you'll know that you made the right step. That was the last time you'll hear her sing Make Room in the sanctuary for a while, okay?
For a while.
For a while.
She's got to come home.
She's got to come home, okay? But what a blessing you've been. We have a gift for you. I'm not going to present that to you today. We're going to give it to you in the back, because in the back today, our pastors and our elders, it's not the entire church, but our pastors and our elders will meet you back there, and the worship team will meet you back there, and they want to express to you just gratitude for your deposit into this team and this church. So we want to pray for you. I'm going to ask Pastor Joy to do that, because I'm just a snotty mess, okay? Just a snotty mess. So Pastor Joy, she's a snotty mess too, but she's going to pray as well, okay?
I was going to say I got most of my tears out on the way to church today, but maybe I didn't, because, you know, you hold them and they just seem to flow when they need to flow, right? But I remember when Brittany came to the church as a young teenage girl and realizing she sang beautifully. And I remember her and someone else that came with her were given a choice, you know, a chance, an opportunity. Come to the praise and worship team. Come and just sit in with us and see if it's a fit. Brittany did. Brittany chose that opportunity and walked in that opportunity. And I believe it was God's plan that had set her up to even come the first time to our church. But it's wonderful because we know her history. We know that her parents raised her in church. We know that her parents taught her the things of the Lord. We know that she continued to walk in that. And did she have moments that were strayed? Yes, just like you and I. Did she have moments that she questioned? Yes, just like you and I. did she have moments that she came to a crossroad and said, do I really want to take this path just like she is now? And she chose yes. God, if it's in your plan, in your will for my life, I want that. Thank God that she has received the strength and the encouragement and the support to walk that path. You know what? To do it afraid. I remember her saying, I don't have confidence to get up there. I just can't do this thing. You don't know how nervous I feel. And I laughed and said, you don't know how nervous I feel. Every Sunday, every time I step. But you know what? Because we are representing the Lord and we want to do it with our best. We want to do it His way and not our way. So today, let's pray for Brittany and her new endeavors and her future. And like I say, she knows where home is. You don't ever get away from home. And we count her as one of our kids. So let's pray for her. Extend your hands. God, we thank you for Brittany. We thank you for that fear of doing it your way that you've placed in her. We thank you, Lord, for the humility of saying, not sure I can do this. I can't hit that note. Not this song. We thank you, Lord, that you've used her. You've grown her. You've matured her. And Father, just like a runner, Lord, her muscles have strengthened. Her stride has increased. Lord, her gait and her breath is stronger when she's running. So Father, we pray over her right now that you would encourage her, uplift her. Lord, let this step out today provide security only from you, confidence only from you. And Lord, continue to let her walk in these giftings you've provided for her, these talents, these things, Lord, that she realized as a child. People told her, you can sing. You've got a voice. Thank you, God, that those things will replay in her mind. Not the negative, but the positive things in her mind. You can sing. You've got a voice. God has something for you. He has a plan for your life. Thank you, Lord, for every scripture you've put in her, everything that she's learned. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that you're going to walk with her. You're going to go with her with each step. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would provide the support, the encouragement, the people around her in her new setting, Lord, that will push her forward, that will see the giftings in her, and that will continue, Father, to feed into her. And Lord, we give you praise and we give you honor for Brittany. We give you thanks for the years you've allowed us to have her. And Lord, it's hard to release, but we release her with joy, knowing that you're still continuing the fight, Lord. You're still continuing the workouts, the runs, the strength building, Lord, and that she's growing in every step she takes. We give you praise and we give you honor for her life, for her ministry, Lord. It doesn't stop here. It's going to grow. It's going to be more. And we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Rico, come. You got a word for her today? Come on. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask her leader, Rico, to come and just share a word of affirmation. It's hard for leaders to lose, you know. And he's the one that has been working hand in hand and seeing growth and seeing development. So thank you, Rico.
She was here before me. It's a big deal. Man, my mind always goes back to our first rehearsal. I said, Brittany, I need you to say something before you start singing. Brittany turned as red as those pews. And she said, nope, I'm not, nope. I'll walk out. She was serious. She said, I'm not going to do it. And then it grew to, she did it. Then it grew to, tell me what to say. Give me something to say real quick. Give me two sentences. Text me a paragraph of what to say. And then it grew to what you have right now.
Yes, amen.
And we thank God for that. Like, that totally has nothing to do with me, but everything to do with where God was going to get you to for this next transition in your life. We had a conversation in the office. Brittany talked to me, and she didn't tell me all of that part, but she did talk to me, and I was like, pray about it. Wait. Don't jump. Don't jump. Wait. Pray about it. See if this is the Lord. Come to revival. You know, let's see what God's saying. But I, too, have had to make transitions in my life. I came here. It was a transition. Big transition. Had I not chose to walk in the path that God was leading me, I wouldn't be here. And this is, I know where God has me right now. So, and for a while, I don't see anything else in the foreseeable future. Let me make that clear. But for you, the next assignment, you won't see anything else until you won't see it. It's just going to be that place. Like, even this week, your mind was probably that place. Like, getting through this, but like, it's the next assignment, it's the next mission for you. And I told Brittany in the office, I said 107 souls wouldn't have gotten saved if you weren't with us. And I said that to the worship team. We wouldn't have gotten 107 souls had everybody not been in place, had the prayer team not been in place, had Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy not been in place, had you not been praying for the services. I always say that I feel the prayers of the saints, like the people that are in the back room praying right now. I feel those in my life because mistakes that I would have normally make, I don't make them because of people praying. So we're going to keep you in prayer. Do you mind if we pray, Pastor Wallace? The worship team, we all, can we gather a little bit closer to Brittany? And I know you pray, Pastor Wallace, but as a team, we want to just touch and agree. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for our sister, Brittany. We thank you, God, for the journey. We thank you for her time here, God. I pray, God, that you would increase her in knowledge and understanding of you and relationship with you. We thank you for the change. We thank you for the continuous change in and on her life, God. We thank you for the anointing that destroys yokes. We thank you for her voice, her leadership, her willingness to serve, God. I pray, God, that you give her her desires. I pray that you give her everything that she wants for her obedience, God. Thank you for dying on the cross just for Brittany. You died for her. Help her to keep that in the front of everything that she's doing now. Thank you that this assignment is great. This assignment is great in her life, and we thank you, God, for being there with her. Keep an angel around her car as she travels up and down the dangerous highways, God. Let her make the right decisions, even in our personal life. Let her not make any decision that would destroy or try to disrupt the plan that you have for her life. God, I thank you for your power. I thank you for her empowering her even with more power, more strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to let you take a look at a video that Rico prepared for Brittany, and then we're going to ask you to stand one more time. Brittany's going to sing Make Room as we make room for the Word of God today. Would you do that? Stand with us.
Your name is power. Your name is healing.
stand and worship the Lord as we prepare for the word today, would you?
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my soul. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you.
Steps anytime between now and the end of the service. If you want to bless Brittany, she receives cash. All right. If you want to bless her, feel free to do that. If you're not going to bother me at all, just bless her. If you see her in the hallway after the service, be a blessing to her. And please pray for her as she transitions from here to there. Okay. We'll keep you posted. We'll tell you where to watch. Okay. But you can't watch it at the same time Carpenter Shop service is going on. All right. All right. Well, hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I stand up here to preach this morning. There's a text message on my iPad. Pastor Wallace, my dear friend, I'm praying for a powerful move of the Holy Spirit this morning at Carpenter Shop Church. I love you and I honor you. Headed to preach in Phoenix, Arizona. Pray for me. Evangelist Pat Slatshine. Come on, give it up for Pat today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to speak first of several messages that I've prepared for the next few weeks. And I've entitled this series, Beyond Impact. Beyond Impact. Last weekend was an incredible weekend of services that we labeled and promoted for several weeks in a way that we haven't done so before. And I just want to thank you for supporting. I would say in my 32 years here, I don't think I've ever seen Carpenter Shop Church come out for revival services like you did this past week. we had full crowds every night, and I thank you. And they were not visiting people. There were some visitors, but you came out for services. And I just want to thank you for that as a pastor. You know, we prayed about this revival. I intentionally employed the ministry and the service of a variety team. You can still see it on the billboard going down the road. An African-American pastor from Richmond, Virginia. A Hispanic pastor and a female from Concord, North Carolina. A Caucasian evangelist from Fort Worth, Texas, Pat Slatshine. And a local Caucasian pastor from Elizabeth City who's been a long-term friend of mine and is an associate of Dr. Billy Graham's ministry, along with his worship team. And each service, for me, was layer upon layer. It was like God was doing something, you know, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, layer upon layer. They all had their uniqueness. They all had their directive as to what the Holy Spirit was saying. So the question is, what does impact mean? You know, it's like when Muhammad Ali hit Joe Frazier, it's like, you know, there's an impact. When your car hit the tree, what happened? There was an impact. There was something that happened. Something on the other side was impacted. So impact is defined literally as a strong effect. I can imagine what your jaw feel like when Muhammad Ali connected with your jaw. I don't even want to imagine that, okay? But that was an impact. So an impact is a strong effect. An impact is an influence that something has on a situation. There was a spiritual impact on our church just this past week. And you have to be careful because you know that when impact takes place, one of my messages in the next few weeks will be devoted to this. Whenever spiritual impact takes place, there's always retaliation. Right now, our country's in retaliation. We're retaliating back from an impact made by an enemy. And let me tell you something. When revival comes to a church and there's always a punch of the Holy Ghost on the ministry and people are saved and people are healed and people are delivered and people are set free, there's always an enemy waiting to attack, and he's not always outside the building. I'll have an entire message devoted to that. But the enemy wants to do one thing. He wants to distract. He wants to steal, kill, destroy. He wants to distract you from what God has done in the initial impact. He wants to discourage you. Get your eyes on things. Become critical and get distracted off of what God is saying. What impact did these meetings have? Well, I just looked at my text messages, my dozens and dozens of text messages that came to me. Terry Wilson said this. He was healed of a long-term headaches just a week before the revival, even before the revival hit. He was healed here on a Sunday morning. He said, I've had the best four nights of my life that I have had in years. He said, thank you for sharing your church with me. God is great. Tamika Stevenson said this, God did something to me spiritually through evangelist Pat on Sunday. I just know God moved. God activated something in me where it is time to just go all in. I have been in tears all day just thinking about it. She adds, God is good. Ebony Balance said this, the revival did something for me. By the time we got to Monday night, my mind was so blown, I couldn't even cry anymore. There was a deep sense of confirmation and confidence. She added, I'm excited for God to move. Amen. Lucas Ireland said this, I definitely left with a renewed spirit, and I feel like some weight was lifted that I didn't even know I was carrying. Come on. Sometimes God does work that you know what he's doing, but sometimes God works in areas that you didn't even realize you needed work in. Come on, y'all. Holly Taylor said this, I had an experience in the middle of the night after revival that I have never, ever experienced before. God opens you up. God opens you up. Pastor Joyce said to me this morning, wow, I had a dream last night. Revival opens you up to receive from the Lord in manners sometimes that you're not accustomed to receiving in. Alicia Peartree said this, "The revival has caused me to go deeper with God." I like the way she said this. I want to go deeper. Come on, y'all. Give the Lord praise for what he accomplished. In other words, God impacted lives. God had a strong influence. Pow! Come on. A strong influence on the church, a strong influence on the community, a strong influence on the region as pastors came. There were two pastors that didn't miss a single revival service. This is not their church. But they were here every night. They didn't miss a service. Impact means change. Impact means transformation has come. In these meetings, God saved, God healed, God delivered, God set free, God restored, God empowered, God impacted. It's incredible when people's lives are impacted and the altar steps have items laying on the steps where young people pull out of their pockets and lay something down that they're willing to walk away from the altar and leave it on the altar. Physically, literally. I had a bag of trash that was picked up off the altar of things that people laid down. I remember days gone by when revivals hit the church, when people were burning albums in the days of albums and records and getting rid of music and influence that they listened to. You see, it matters what you do Monday to Saturday. Revival is not a Sunday thing like some shroud that you put on. Revival is an impact that you walk this way of life every day you live. It's not just a state of being that happens at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I'd like to share with you this morning some biblical stories, because the Bible is full of stories about how people were impacted. I want to share some biblical examples of what happens when lives are impacted by the working of the Holy Spirit. In essence, I want to share some outcomes, some results that revival can produce. Two of them today. First one is this. Revival produces a conviction. Somebody say conviction. A conviction that leads to repentance. Conviction is a state of awareness that comes when the Holy Spirit touches your heart concerning your spiritual need of Him. Undoubtedly, every time we gather together, today is no different. The Holy Spirit will lay His finger on the heart and the soul of people. And some will embrace and some will reject. And some will embrace and some will reject. In other words, everybody doesn't always yield to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Some of you, God is working on you in different areas of your life. God is speaking to your heart by way of conviction. He may be asking you to release something from your life that you're still wanting to hold on to. That's conviction. The question is, how do we respond to it? The working of the Holy Spirit results in either that rejection or that acceptance of a total change. Repentance is what? Repentance is, I was going this way, and all of a sudden God has changed my direction. Now I'm going in a complete and opposite direction. It's a total change of mind, heart, and direction. That's what repentance is. I don't want to do this anymore. Man, I remember when I was a student at the state, you've heard me say it before, I'd walk out of bars and I'd be down there. I've got tests tomorrow. No problem. I lied and cheated and got somebody to take the test for me, signed my name to the roster. I covered my sin. I walked out of bars and I would throw that last bottle down and say, I'm not doing this anymore. And it had a grip on me. And all it would take is a phone call the next night. What you up to? Man, I'm studying for another exam. Why, what you got on your mind? 10-cent draft down at Edwards Grocery. I chose 10-cent draft at Edwards Grocery. Strohs in a paper cup. Okay? Because my life was run. My life was motivated by the things of the world and not the things of God. And I couldn't turn it loose. So I was rejecting the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and I was yielding to the temptation and walking out my life apart from God. Perhaps the greatest example of conviction that I've seen in the Bible that has mass effect is given by Luke as he records the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. The sound of a mighty rushing wind. You've read it in the book of Acts. The sound of a mighty rushing wind. The Bible says it filled the house where they were gathered. There were 120 who were gathered there at the request of Jesus by the riverside, by the seashore. He says, listen, tarry ye into Jerusalem until you're endued with power. Get over there to the upper room. He's speaking to how many people? 500 people. But only 120 said yes. He's speaking to crowds, but only 120 said yes. Amazing manifestation in the descent of the Spirit that day. Tongues of fire came down, set upon the heads of all those who were gathered in the upper room. And there was question on the part of those who witnessed this. There was questions. They were saying, man, what in the world is this? One translation says, what meaneth this in the King James? What is going on here? And it's the faithful spokesman of the band of the disciples named Peter who stands up and preaches the gospel, the good news, for the very first time. Peter gives a treatise. You can read it in the book of Acts. He gives a treatise on the life and the purpose of Jesus Christ. And then he says in his final word, look at Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 41. He says a long treatise, and that's why we start with the word therefore. So therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. The people heard this. Look at verse 37. The people heard this. They were cut to the heart. Somebody say conviction. They were pricked, one translation says. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They're hearing the gospel. They're hearing the power of God into salvation, as Paul said to the church at Rome. They're hearing this powerful message anointed by the Holy Spirit, and they say, what shall we do? They knew their uncleanness. They knew their distance from God. And they simply cried out, what should we do? And Peter replies, verse 38, you need to repent. You need to repent and you need to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then he says, and you're also going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39 says, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Listen, you may be sitting here this morning. Can I tell you something? The Lord our God is calling you to right relationship with Him, calling you to turn away from unrighteousness and ungodliness and turn to Him who is the one, the true, and the living God. He's always about the business of calling people unto Him. Verse 40, with many other words, He warned them. And he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. What would he say today? Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. I love this verse, verse 41. Those who, I said, you either do what? You either reject it or you either accept it. Those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000, I see your hand, I see your hand, I see your hand, I see your hand. 3,000 people responded yes to Christ. That's what revival does. There was revival there that day, the very first example of what the Holy Spirit desires to do anytime He gathers His people together. Not just in revival in January, but every Sunday we come together. We don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea. We didn't know this morning that God would call us to a Quaker lifestyle where we just sit. We just sat and listened to a saxophone and a keyboard, just kind of lightly. No, don't do anything. Don't move. Don't move. Don't do anything. I said, Lord, you want me to do something? No, don't do anything. Just wait. Several years ago, I preached a revival. And I was sitting on the platform, and the pastor introduced me. He said, we have a pastor today from Ahoskie, North Carolina, and he's coming to preach the Word of God this week to us. He said, let's just pray before Pastor Wallace comes. And they prayed a simple prayer. He said, Lord, just move. And he stopped.
And we sat. And we sat. We sat there solidly for 25 minutes. I was in a Quaker church. In the Quaker theology, those of you that have studied theology, you know that it was not uncommon for Quakers, or even one sect of believers called what? Shakers, that would sit in the presence of God until they felt the presence of God, and they would shake. No noise. Pentecostals think we always got to have noise. You always got to have a roar. You don't. God can move in the quiet. Verse Psalm 46 says what? Be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes God just wants you to be quiet. And you know what? I've always seen it. If you sit still in a room long enough, the Holy Spirit's going to ring the doorbell. He is. He's going to break in. I commend you, Joel. He's commend you. A man that spoke forth in boldness. I said, who gave him a microphone? Nobody gave him a microphone. But the Lord took his voice and raised it to a height where everybody could hear. And God spoke to us sovereignly today through the gifts of the Spirit. If you've never experienced that before, that's a prophecy. That's a prophetic word that comes forth from the floor. The Bible says when you come together, let one of you have a song, let one of you have a word. You know, you and I don't know what's going to happen when we come together. And guess what? You can't define revival and what it looks like. And you can't duplicate. You can say, well, we sat for several minutes last Sunday. Let's try that again. No, you don't strategically set out to do what you did last week. Because last week's anointing is not sufficient for today's task. Come on, y'all. It's not. You can't duplicate. Neither can you predict what God's going to do or not going to do. Because God wants to move in revival. How? By his Spirit. Secondly, not only does revival produce salvation unto repentance, but revival produces a desire, somebody say desire, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As you leave the amazing salvation of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, you have to note that Peter was equipped to do the work of the ministry that day because of a power that was not his own. I was afraid. I was very afraid just this past week. My wife says, why are you so nervous? I got asked to speak at a military celebration. Pensacola, NAS, Naval Air Station. I've never been on a military base in my life. And they went through the practice. They went through all of the motions on the flag folding and the color guards and the guns. And I'm there and I'm walking, man, I'm walking in that building. Every room I look in, there's guys sitting there, young people, 20, 21, 22, 23 years old, men and women from all nationalities. They're all Americans. And they're sitting in rooms and their fingers are typing. And I'm looking and I told Pastor Joy, I said, man, this is crazy. I said, I feel like I'm walking through the Pentagon. And don't you know that in any moment right now, where we are in the history of this nation, right now what we're going through, at any moment, one of those guys could have received an email and everything would have changed immediately because it did come from the Pentagon. I couldn't go on the base without military personnel with me. They got in our car, rode with us, had to go through all of the examinations of background records and driver's license and all of this stuff. Joel, I've never been in the military. I didn't know all about this. And then when I get ready to, I'm just nervous, man. I'm just nervous. Why? Because I've never spoken at a military event. Why were you down there speaking? Well, I've been pastoring here 32 years. One of my former young people in the youth group is retiring from the military. What? He's what? I remember when I lived in the Parsons, I remember the first day I met him, Justin Gilbert, fifth grade, Hertford County Middle School, wild as a buck, playing basketball in the driveway. I said, hey, man, what's your name? Justin Gilbert. And I quickly thought, you know, this is cool. We've got a chance for a new family. Justin and his family were very involved in Carpenter Shop. His parents served as elders in the church while they were here. And they've kept up with us all these years. And they told him, they said, listen, ask someone who's been an inspiration and was strategically used in your life to point you in the right direction. And he calls me up and he says, hey, can you be at my retirement celebration? I said, what? He said, can you come to my retirement celebration and participate in that ceremony? I pulled out my calculator and I thought, wow, 29 years ago. And here's a young man that says, you impacted my life. And I was nervous. I was really nervous. I was so nervous, I wrote my prayer down word for word. I sat in there and I'm studying, and Pastor Joy says, what are you doing? I said, I'm reading over my prayer. She said, that's not the way you do it. I said, I know, but this is different. I'm scared. I sent in text messages to people I trust. Hey, pray for me. I'm speaking at a military banquet. Why? Because I'm scared. Can I just tell you something? I hope I'm always scared. When I'm doing the work of the ministry, I hope I'm always scared. I hope I never get to the place where I say, I got this. Boom, 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 boom. Come on. I got this. No, I don't have this. He has this. And it's his service. It's his ministry. It's his call. It's his people. It's his desire to move among his people. So I studied my prayer. I studied my words. And then when I got up, I didn't use them. Okay? I didn't use them. And then I sat down and I asked Pastor Joy, I said, how did I do? She said, you did so good. Then I felt like I was all that. Okay. Revival produces something in you. Revival produces a desire to be baptized. Here we go. You go down in your flesh. When you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, no, you're not baptized in water. You're baptized. You're baptizo. You're saturated. You're surrounded by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit comes upon you so that he can move in ways that you cannot move apart from him. I was a Baptist boy. I grew up all of my life in the Baptist church. I never knew anything about this speaking in tongues. Matter of fact, we used to sit across the road from the Pentecostal church and we used them as entertainment. We watched them shout. We watched them fall out. We watched them dance. We were kids riding our bicycles in town watching the Pentecostal church. Little did I know that one day God would get a hold of me and arrest me and call me to salvation, and I would meet this young lady, and she would say, well, my mom wants you to go to church. And I went into that little church in Hertford, North Carolina that night, and I said one thing. I said, man, if I ever get up out of here, I will never come back here again. If I ever get up out of here. Folks, we don't do it like they did it in the old days. I'm talking old time Pentecost, Pastor Lanoli. I'm talking they got together at 5 because the service starts at 7, and for 2 hours they are walking those aisles. They are in those Sunday school classrooms. They're anointing one another. They're prophesying over each other. They are believing God that when the clock strikes 7, we're going to experience worship tonight and God is going to move by his Spirit. They were serious about the move of God. I remember saying I'll never go back. But then Monday came and Tuesday came and I was trying to work. And all that was on my mind was that powerful feeling of the Holy Ghost in that room. People speaking languages I'd never heard in that room. I thought, well, I don't understand all of that. So I got very confused. And then my organization said, no, that's not for today. That's not for today. That died when the apostles died. Okay. But I began to pray, and I said, Lord, number one, if this is real, and you, number two, if you want me to have it, then I want it. And I never will forget it, August the 18th, on a Sunday morning, sitting in the back row, nobody lathering me up with oil, nobody hollering in my ears, I stood to my feet, and a language that I had never learned began to proceed from my lips, and weeping, I made my way to the altar and was gloriously baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you speak with tongues? Every day. Every day. Why? Because sometimes I don't know what to say. Sometimes I have no idea what to say. And Paul said, even if you've never spoken in tongues, Paul said, he understands your groanings. God. Guess what? That's a tongue in itself, okay? Because God can interpret that. He knows what your groanings mean. And you know what? You don't have to speak in tongues. You get to. Okay? You ever been to a restaurant? Oh, I like to go to those nice restaurants where the lady comes to the table after she brings your salad and she stands there with this big long thing and she says, would you like some cracked pepper? And I said, yeah. And she goes, you don't have to have cracked pepper. You get to have cracked pepper. Give me a little spice, somebody. Give me a little spice. And she turns that thing. She looks at me sometime like, are you serious? I said, yeah, I like a lot. Can I tell you, when it comes to the Holy Ghost, I like a lot, y'all. I like a lot. I need more. I need more of what God is doing in my life, more of what he's doing in my church, more of what he's doing in the earth. I want more. Well said. Whoever testified that, I just want more. Peter had been in the upper room. Well, you're just preaching to me, Pastor, because of the revival. These sermons that I'm going to preach to you were fashioned weeks ago. Okay? So don't accuse me of preaching at you. Okay? I've already got the logistics laid out that'll take us on into the month of March. Peter had been in that upper room that day that Jesus had commanded. He'd already experienced regeneration. Jesus brought him regeneration. Jesus appeared to his disciples, check this out, after his resurrection, John 20, verses 19 to 22. It records the disciples' transformation. Would you raise your hand? Would you come? Would you say this prayer? I confess that I'm a sinner. I believe in my heart. None of that. Jesus did a regeneration. In fact, some people are very critical of the sinner's prayer. Say this after me. I confess that I'm a sinner. Where's that in the Bible? That's something that man has come up with to enhance the work of God. Is the sinner's prayer wrong? No. Is it in the Bible? No. Repentance is, though. Okay. My pastor said the sinner's prayer won't in the Bible. It's not. It goes like this. Lord, when you come into your kingdom, would you remember me? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Are y'all getting this? My pastor said, go ahead out there and run your mouth, my pastor said. It'll just get you in trouble. Peter had already experienced regeneration. John 20. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together and the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. And he just simply said, peace be with you. After he said this, he shows them his hands, shows them his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And then he stands in front of them and he goes, whoosh. You know what that was? That was a sinner's prayer. Okay? Okay. The disciples were regenerated. He breathed on them. Pentecostal preachers are out there butchering this passage. I've heard, I'm sure you have, Pastor Mike, heard pastors preach on this. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is not. This is the regeneration of the disciples who had to come to repentance and faith in Christ themselves because they're the ones he's chosen to do the ministry. Receive the Holy Spirit. So what happens to you when you come to Christ? You receive the Holy Spirit into your heart. Your next challenge is to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit all the days of your life. That's a different animal. That's a different one. It was later Jesus prepared to leave this earth. You know, it must have been nice to be alive when Jesus was alive. See a little boy's lunch transform the lives of thousands of people, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. See withered hands straighten. Hear Lazarus come from the grave when Jesus says, come forth. Must have been a great thing to be alive. But then Jesus says, I must go away. It's expedient that I go, King James says. But he says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Not going to leave you without the same power that you've seen in front of your eyes while I'm with you. I will send you another comforter. Okay? Luke 24:49. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but you stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Not noise. Paul talks about that in the book of Corinthians. You can just be a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal if you don't have love. He said, I'm going to send you what my Father's promised, but you stay there in Jerusalem until you receive the clothing from on high that I have for you. This is the power that you and I need to do the work of the ministry. This is the power you need to stay in the nursery. This is the power you need to teach the kids' class. This is the power you need to preach the gospel every Sunday of your life. This is the power you need to sing on the worship team, to play the keyboard, to beat the drums, to greet the guests. This is the power that you need because you live in a wicked world. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit upon you to do whatever you're going to do. Because if you do it on your own power, you're going to get sick of it real quick. We want to be effective in the ministry that God has assigned to us. We want a power that is beyond our, here we go, natural ability. That's why we need to be baptizo. Look at the word in the original language. Baptized, saturated, surrounded by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait. I underscored that word. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You go down in water as a sign of repentance. You go down in the Holy Ghost as a sign of ministry desire and empowerment. It's a baptism separate. He said to them, verse 7, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father set by his own authority. Verse 8, but you will receive, I underscored this word, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, words translated martyrs, even if I have to die for you, I will. How could you die for Jesus? Well, you better have the power of the Holy Spirit or you won't be able to take a shot for him. But you'll be my witnesses in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said we'd receive power. He said that those disciples that day would need to go to Jerusalem, enter that upper room, and wait for that power. The word power in the Greek language is dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. And in the Greek, it simply means the dynamics of the Holy Spirit. the dynamics, the moment when he says, don't sing. Don't sing. Just play. The moment when he says, speak. Okay? I've been there. I know. Bum, 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 bum. Your heart's beating like, should I do this and should I? That said the Lord. Okay, now you got started. Go ahead. What am I going to say, Lord? I'll give you the words when you open your mouth. Okay? Scary territory. I remember being on a Southeastern college campus when I was there. I had given prophetic words in small groups before. Our church was small. I'm sitting there in that service, man. The message in tongues comes, boom, boom, boom. There's a silence. My heart's racing like crazy, and the Lord says, speak. I said, God, there's a lot of people here. Speak. Lord, there's a lot of people here. Speak. Long period of silence. And I didn't speak. Why? Because I stopped being moved by the Holy Spirit and I chose rather to be guided by my own self. So I did not interpret. What happens when you're in a group of 1,200 people and the message in tongues comes and there's no interpretation? The Bible calls for what? An interpretation. So who's responsible? The Bible teaches you who's responsible. Whoever spoke the tongue. So the man of God leaves the pulpit, goes down into the congregation, says, sir, would you come here? He said, obviously the Lord is trying to speak through you. Would you please tell us what you feel the Lord is saying to this house today? There's a biblical protocol for everything that we do in the Pentecostal church. I'm sitting back there in the back feeling so ashamed. Tears are coming down my face. I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I will next time. Can I just tell you, it was a long time before next time came. I went through a season of disappointment. Lord, when are you going to use me again? Finally had that opportunity. Everything you do, you must do because of the impact of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Oh, you know what? The sad thing about ministry is I have enough skill. I've been preaching for 42 years. I can preach without God's anointing. Now let that settle in for just a second. If you say, hey, can you stand up and preach? Sure. Turn with me in your Bibles to John 3:16. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not. I can preach for 30 minutes because I've done it for so long. God help us to never, ever want to do ministry outside of the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm scared. That's why on the way to church this morning, Pastor Joy throws her arm around me. I don't feel like being here anyway. I got a stuffed up head. I should have stayed in bed, but I got a word in my spirit. And God, as long as you give me breath, I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm going to release your word today. You desire for people to come to repentance, and you desire for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to do it, Lord. She lays her hands on me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak heat, peace, and healing over Wallace today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, unstop his head. Coming from Coleraine to here, she's still praying. I hear her speaking in tongues very quietly. He's speaking in tongues over me from Coleraine to Ahoskie. Do I feel like being here? No, I don't. But do I want to be here? Yes. Because I don't want to miss what God is doing today. I don't want to miss what he's going to do in just a moment when we open these altars up. This baptism in the Holy Spirit, these dynamics of the Holy Ghost. Or why you flip over from Acts chapter 2 and read about the tongues, you get to Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are going to the temple at the hour of prayer. Something these guys did every day. These guys went to the temple every day. They went through their emotions every day. They stood at the temple every day. They spoke that language every day. I don't know what they were saying. They were just praying every day. But this day is a little different. Why? Because they're fresh out of the impact revival that took place in Jerusalem in an upper room when the Holy Spirit descended and said, "Pow! I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost so that you don't have to work so hard to get something to happen, so that there'll be joy in what you do." There's joy in the Spirit-filled life. One guy said to me years ago, "Wallace, take it like this. You're on your way to California on a bicycle. Somebody stops you and says, 'Hey, man, get off the bike. Here's a one-way ticket to L.A.' And they put you on a plane. A whole lot easier to get there. You can go on the bike. You don't have to have black pepper on your salad. Are y'all getting this? You can stay right where you are." Back in the back there, there's a picture of a man named Rayford Brabble. He died at 93 years old. His broom is on the wall because we retired his broom. No one dare touch his broom. He cleaned this church for years. He was cleaning this church when I came here. And he was on the board, and he quickly asked me, do I get to stay on the board? I said, "Why not, Brother B?" "Well, I've never spoken tongues. I don't require that you speak in tongues to be on the board." I stayed here for 20-some years till he died. Off times in my times when I worked in the office here, just out of being kind, many times I'd come in the sanctuary, try to find Brother B because he's in there cleaning the church. Looked all around the church, couldn't find him. One Monday morning I came in here, and the reason I could never find him is because he'd come in the sanctuary and he'd get down on his knees and he'd lay on the floor and he'd slide himself under that pew. I heard a little mumbling. Does it see him in here? Walked to the front pew and I just heard him say, "Lord, bless my pastor. Father, I ask you to keep him healthy and strong. Lord, bless Joy and Josh and Abby. Keep him from harm. Use him, God, to grow our church." I stood there and I cried. Had you rather have somebody that makes a lot of noise and, oh yes, they speak in tongues? Or would you take somebody who with sincerity of heart never spoke a tongue in his life, but is praying for you? Paul said, "I speak in tongues more than all of you." Okay? So, Pastor, you don't think it's God's will that people speak in tongues? Oh, absolutely. I think it's God's will that everybody experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Want any cracked pepper on your salad? No, you don't have to. Have cracked pepper. You still going to heaven? Yep. Still going to heaven. But you just don't have any cracked pepper on your salad. Y'all getting this? Are you getting what I'm saying? You said, "Pastor, you just said you pray in the tongues every day." I do. Riding down the road, man, all the way to a husky, I pray in the Holy Spirit. I stop at the stop sign sometimes, just have a meltdown, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Spirit. I was baptized in water unto repentance, and I also was baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Well, tongues are not for today. Show me that. Show me that somewhere. Well, my pastor said so. Your pastor's wrong. Your pastor's not right. Because he said, "I'll give you this gift, and it's good for as many as the Lord our God shall call." And he's still gone, and the reason he sent the Holy Spirit is because we needed something while he was away. He said, "I'll send you another one." And he said, you'll do, he said, I did great works when I was among you, but you'll do greater works. Okay. Why? Because I'm going to the Father, going to send back the Spirit. You getting this? Okay. So one day, Peter and John, fresh out of the upper room, out of the temple, time of prayer, going to do the same thing they've been doing for years. There's several times you pray as a Jew in a day's time. Not just over your meals or when you got something serious going on. They had times of prayer. They're going up to the temple at the time of prayer. 3 in the afternoon. 6, 12, 3. It's on the clock. Now a man who was lame from birth, 38 years he's been laying there, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put there every day to beg. Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. Got any change? He placed him there every day. As people were going into the temple courts, he sees Peter and John about to enter, and he said, hey, can you spare some money? Peter looks at him in a way that he's never looked at him before. He said, money I don't have. Oh, but in the name of Jesus, okay? He got something in that upper room that he didn't have before. But in the name of Jesus, and the Bible says he takes the man's hand as an act of faith and says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Bible says immediately, come on, his ankles, his feet and his ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them in the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. God is not finished with this kind of work. That's why on a Sunday morning I said, Terry, stand up. Why'd you say, Terry, stand up? Because the Holy Spirit said, tell Terry to stand up. What if I'd have said, nah, I don't want to embarrass him. He's only been at the church 2 or 3 weeks. What if I would have said, no, I'm not going to call him out. It might embarrass him because he had the whole right side of his head taken off. I only did it because the Holy Spirit said, tell Terry to stand up. When I was in Pakistan, I had a young man who was 13 years old brought to me with no muscles. He was a rack of bones. He looked like the advertisement for a skeleton. Guys had him across his arms, his limbs were dangling behind him and in front of him. He's 13 years old. They bring him to the altar. I said, what's wrong with him? He has no muscles. I said, stand him up. Stand him up. He has no muscles. I said, stand him up. Why'd you say it? Because I heard the Lord say, Wallace, tell him to stand him up. Stand him up. They didn't stand him up. I said, listen, in the name of Jesus, stand him up. They got angry with me, but had some help, and they stood him up. And just like this man in Acts chapter 3, his legs began to wobble like that, and I moved one of them forward for him, and I moved the other one back and forth. I moved his legs. I said, walk him across this platform. He can't walk. Walk him across this platform in the name of Jesus. This is a working of miracles. It's not a miracle. It's the working of a miracle. It hadn't happened yet, but it's going to. If you do what you're supposed to do, God will do the rest. Come on, somebody. Walk the man. They walked the boy, 13 years old, with no muscles in his body. God did a creative miracle, produced muscles around bone, and gave the man the ability to walk like he'd never walked before. Why? Because God wants you to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because you can do greater things with cracked pepper than you can without. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? This is what revival does. It's an impact. The Holy Spirit says, I'm going to impact your church. I had no idea. Listen to me, friends. I'm coming to a close. I had no idea. A year and a half ago, I invited Pat Slatshine to come here last week. Where was Pat the week before he came here? He was at Brownsville Assembly of God, Pensacola, Florida. 7 days later, where am I at? Brownsville Assembly of God, Pensacola, Florida. Last Sunday morning, there was a black jacket hanging here on the stand. I asked myself the question, I wonder what that jacket's for. He took that jacket and he said, this is the jacket of Steve Hill, who preached in Brownsville Assembly of God starting on Father's Day, 1995. Revival lasted for 5 years. Do you mind, Pastor, if I just drape this jacket over your body as a symbol of faith? Sometimes you may find this hard to believe, but sometimes I don't even know where I'm going until Sunday night. Pastor George will say, what you got going this week? Tomorrow we fly out to Pensacola. We live that kind of schedule, okay? Where are you going? Why didn't you tell me? Too many other things working up to this. I know we got it on the calendar. So we fly out to Pensacola. While I'm at Pensacola, I said, hey, can you take me over to Brownsville Assembly of God? And I stood there in front of that church. And I said, Lord, if you did it in Brownsville, if you did it in Brownsville, you can do it here. If you did it in Brownsville. Because there's too much crack in a Husky. There's too much meth in a Husky. There's too many guns in a Husky. There's too many shootings in a Husky. There's too many things that are tearing our society up, attacking our children. Lord, if you can do it in Brownsville, you could do it here. I stood there and I'm standing, you can't see it, but right in front of my shoe. Third stone over right in front of my shoe are the people that sewed in financially. Their names are on the bricks. First of all, I look down and I see Marilyn Hickey Ministries. Ah, thank you, Marilyn, that you've sewn into the fertile ground of revival. And you look at all those bricks and we just enjoyed walking there. Oh, look. Look at the people who gave. Because Brownsville Assembly of God underwent such a shift, they could no longer function. They built two more times. There was such an infrastructure shift in the community. Hotels came to town. Restaurants and businesses went up because they didn't have enough restaurants for people. People are coming to town to eat. There's nowhere for them to eat. People started building restaurants. What does revival do? Revival impacts. Revival makes a strategic hit and influence on a body. Well, I didn't see that in the revival meetings. Just keep looking. Just keep looking. Okay? Well, I didn't experience that. Maybe you didn't come. This church should be busting at the seams. Because if we get so in love with Jesus that we have a heartbreak for souls, we'd be Friday. Say, hey, John Wallace here. How's it going, man? Hey, why don't you let me come pick you up Sunday? Where are we going? I want you to come to my church. Won't you come to my church? Last night I went to Food Lion late, picked up some apples. Two guys met me in the parking lot. Hey, sir, how are you? I said, fine. Would you come to our church tomorrow? Nope. They said, why not? I said, because I'm a pastor and I'm going to my church, but thanks for asking. They weren't even Christians. They were Mormons. I thought, how sad. I got in my car and I thought, how sad. We're leaving it to the Mormons, the cults, to invade the Food Lion parking lots on a Saturday night. And they smiled. They were kind. Hey, sir, how are you? I said, I'm doing fine. Would you come to my church tomorrow? Did you invite anybody yesterday or Friday or Thursday? Did you? I'm just asking. Because most of us feel like it's all, help me here, it's all I can do to get there. Okay? Doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to be that way. The Holy Spirit is God's anointing, His touch, His desire. He'll change your desires. He'll change your heart from the inside out. And when the anointing comes, healing comes. When the anointing comes, deliverance comes. When the anointing comes, you can pray over a military group. When the anointing comes, miracles come. When the anointing comes, impact comes. When the anointing comes, black pepper comes. Come on, y'all. Let's stand to our feet today. It was from Brownsville Assembly of God that multiplied. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people were called into the ministry. I can't tell you how many times I've met a missionary or something like that. And I'll say, hey, tell me where you're from. What you? Well, yeah, I got saved during the Brownsville revival down in Florida, and God called us to missions. Hey, tell me where you're from. Oh, yeah, I'm from Alabama, but I went over to the revival in Brownsville several years ago, and my wife, my whole family got saved. God called us into the ministry. Multiplied hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people called into the ministry because of revival. What does revival do? It brings conviction of sin for salvation. Have you got sin present in your life today? If you do, God's not looking to just, He's not obligated to bless you. He wants to lay His finger on your sin. And He wants to restore you to right relationship with Him. I'm speaking to somebody. Well, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've never experienced this baptism in the Holy Spirit. Can I just tell you, it's for you? If you're born again, it's for you. You can come up here to this altar this morning. I'm not going to shake you. I'm not going to holler in your ear. I'm not going to scream tongues in your ear. I'm going to ask you just to avail yourself and say, Lord, would you please fill me with your Spirit? Fill me with your Spirit. I want more. Could my ministers come and join me at the front here, please? Ministers, elders, pastors, just come and stretch out across the front. It'll bring you some people who just simply say, I want impact in my life. I want revival. I thought revival was last week. No, revival's today. Revival's every day. Revival's when we come together and ask the Spirit of God to move among us. Revival is among us. Come on, step out of your seat and just, maybe you have a special need. Maybe you have someone else you're praying for. Maybe God's placed someone in your path at work and you desire to see them say, come on, step out of your seat and just come and let's linger in His presence for a moment. As the worship team leads us, come on. Let's come and stand in His presence. If you need to do business with God, do business with God. Do business with God. We've
with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up, turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy.
Thank you.
Jesus. Let's remember today to bless Brittany, whether you want to rush up to her and give her a big hug and bless her with a little offering, or if you want to come to the buckets and leave something for her just as a transitional gift for her, to bless her, to encourage her. And Lord, let's just walk away from today's challenge to make sure that we are living daily a repentive life, because you know what? Every day we have slip-ups. We are not perfect, but we can be forgiven and we can walk our best to fulfill the things that God has for us in our lives. Continue to pray for Brittany as she walks out in faith and strives forward for her future, knowing that God is going to take care of her. He's going to open the doors and just allow her to be utilized and in ministry. He's going to grow her some more, and he's growing us some more. Thank you, Pastor, for the word today. Lord, we come to you. We thank you that we can be challenged today, that we can hear your word. And we open our heart and our ears, our minds, to receive that word. Father, sometimes things are difficult to hear, but your spirit reminds us that we are not perfect and that we do need to live a repentive life. We need to be willing, Father, to have all that you have for us. The spicy, the black pepper, as Pastor says. We want more of you. We want all that you have for us. And Lord, we thank you for this congregation, this family that joins together, that supports one another, that loves on one another, and that prays for one another, encourages and upbuilds one another. We thank you, Lord, for those text messages, those phone calls from people in our family that say, "Love you, man. I don't know what's going on, but I woke up in the night praying for you." Those things, Lord, are what make a family. And we thank you, Lord, for the CSIC family. We give you praise for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us of wrongdoings, for coming into our lives and giving us salvation and eternal life. And Lord, for all the extras that you give us, your favor, your blessings, the Holy Spirit that guides us and comforts us, we give you praise. We give you honor. Be with us this week. We can't wait till Wednesday night. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.